For March the 21st, 2014, we have a very special kind of live recorded episode of The Level, where we talk about The Last of Us movie. We talk about favorite video game adaptations and vice versa. And then we talk about the South Park, The Stick of Truth, and a little bit of Dark Souls 2, even though we ought not to. Welcome to the 54th level. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm David Meismith.
I'm Ben Merkel.
And you're listening to The Level, a podcast for people who love video games. Guys, we are all in the same room.
Someone should silence their goddamn phone. What was that?
Yeah.
No, that was my Bluetooth speaker. Thanks. Thanks for blowing up my spot there, Dennis.
And we'll have slightly less overtalk this time.
A little bit.
Still more overtalk.
No,
but, you know.
It's just analog overtalk.
Yeah. No,
inexcusable
overtalk. We're doing
overtalk.
It live.
Yeah.
Well, we can't blame it on Skype anymore. It's just the fact that I cannot speak without interrupting somebody.
It was Skype got bad enough that we moved Ben back to the house.
Yeah. So we did started a fund. And,
it was worth the flight every week.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, man, because we're an empire. So, yeah, Ben's back in town. It is awesome to have you back here. Like, oh, you know, we're sitting here drinking some beers. We got some Red Fox, not just an amazing comedian from the 70s.
Hey.
This is proof that we're in the same room.
Yeah. I could not go to like Freesound and find a toasting scene. I could not open up like a Mortal Kombat game and capture the toasty sound.
So we should toast from now on.
Yes.
So, to get us started here today, there's something that was shared on my wall on Facebook, and I wanted to give like a little bit of a readout. So this is from 4chan. I guess it was posted on Imgur, but it is from Anonymous, and the topic title is First National Bank of GameStop. Okay.
All right.
And you can see the picture here is
we can
is Freddy from Scooby Doo.
He looks like Shaggy by his facial expression, though.
He does. He looks a little irie. Is that what they call it?
He looks like he's in Denver
culture?
Right now. Yeah.
But I just wanted to do this little reading of gems from the web here. Not ripping off Games for Windows Live at all. So, Anonymous says, does anyone else use GameStop as a bank? I got really pissed off with US Bank because I kept overdrafting my account even though I opted out. And the same thing happened with my credit union when I got a debit card. Now, whenever I get paid, I go pre-order a whole shitload of games. Whenever I need money, I go to the nearest GameStop and ask for my money back on a game that I don't want and make a withdrawal. The lines are shorter at GameStop than at the bank, and I can trade in old games and have money go straight into my savings account.
Oh my god!
GameStops are just as prevalent as banks in my town. And I work at a mall, so it's even more convenient than running an errand to the bank or using an ATM and getting it charged. The GameStop people are starting to catch on that I'm just moving money around and only buying one pre-ordered game a year, if that. But there isn't shit they can do about it. The best part is, since I always pre-order every game coming out, I'm still guaranteed to get all the exclusive content, whether or not I'm certain I want a game. It's like they're rewarding me for banking with them.
Wow. Yeah, I was gonna say that's the reward over interest. So
yes.
that's what you have to weigh.
Yeah,
over 0.0001%.
Yeah. Well, no, it looks like you get points when you buy. So like you use your bank's credit card, you get like cash back or whatever. You get the same thing at GameStop, except for every like $2,500 you spend, you get a $25 gift card.
Yeah. Yeah. So I bet GameStop probably has a credit card, so you should use that to pre-order everything on.
You know what? Actually, I don't think
you're getting recursive now.
Yeah, I know.
Thanks for putting that idea out there. I'm sure we'll see it within the
month. Yeah, I'm just wondering now how much of GameStop's pre-orders are actually money laundering now.
Yeah. It's crazy. And somebody responded, I can't decide if you are R-word or brilliance. So...
Wow. Or we're working with the mob.
Yeah. Well, there's something fallacious about that. This might have changed. So anybody who's listening who might want to do that, you cannot redeem a pre-order from another GameStop if you pre-ordered it at one. So reserve Grand Theft Auto San Andreas at the mall store, you can't go to the strip store and get your money back for it.
Well, really,
they did that after they got taken to the bank on Duke Nukem Forever.
after they got taken to the bank on being a bank.
No, I was going to say that, you know, it's kind of like managing a hedge fund. You got to have a couple pre-orders in your, you know, I've got all my first-person shooter pre-orders at one GameStop, and then I've got a couple, you know, evolving market pre-orders at another.
I'm pretty sure this GameStop won't go under, yeah.
Indie games are developing nations.
Yeah.
You guys, I think we just invented credit default swaps. I'm not even sure.
I just want to see, like, all the different types of games compared to different countries. The big question is, which one is Russia?
I mean, aren't you just creating, like, you know, there's an anime where, like, they take all the, like, Axis and ally nations and make them into, like, schoolgirls, right? It's called, like, Hetalia.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good.
All right.
Cole's like, well, that bit I have to throw away now. Just crumples up a piece of paper, throws it over his shoulder.
Well, it just, what it does is it makes people think that, like, dressing up like somebody in the SS is a good idea. Like, no, I swear, I'm just a fan of anime.
It's just a cosplay.
Oh, man.
That's
it's
not even a joke. That's most anime conventions.
That's unfortunate, is what you're trying to say.
It's a fandom, not hate. So, with that, I feel like we are properly warmed up, and we can jump right into the usual thing. So even though we are live, we're going to maintain the same structure that we usually do. So we're going to do some
the same news. Old structure or the same new structure?
The same structure that we did last time. So we're going to do the brief, we're going to do the multiplayer, we're going to do the grind, and then we're going to, you know, say goodbye.
I like that.
Yes.
To the audience and then to one another.
Hey, we're going to say goodbye to one another for another week.
That's true.
Yes.
So, do you guys want to do...
Do what?
Sorry. Now you guys
do what, man?
I've never listened to the show before. What's going
on? Hey, so now this is the kind of insight you get in person. Cole looks ridiculously excited when he goes into one of those. You can see he's like, oh, marker. All right, got it. Yes, nailed it.
There we go. Also, you can see that, like, I'm holding a microphone right now, but my free hand is doing a bunch of stuff. I look like Stan from Monkey Island. Yeah. Basically, if I don't look like I'm fighting off a cloud of angry bees, like, I'm not casting, all right?
Honestly, I imagine you this, though, even when I'm in Las Vegas. But I imagine you with, like, two hands, kind of.
Yeah, I'm flailing.
Yeah.
If you hear me cry out in pain, I'm sitting to the left of Cole, which means I'm looking for his left hook right here.
Just got Cole struck, yeah.
I'm also standing and sitting, like, doing some pacing and stuff.
Yeah.
It's a very kinetic exercise, you guys.
I just slump progressively lower in my seat
as I wear you down.
We know that you're just trying to build up your Fitbit.
No, I had to send it back because it gave me a terrible rash.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so they're sending me my $130 back, and I need to get one. Yes. It isn't poison. So. Okay.
Wait, was it like...
You should have picked the poison model, dude.
Just to answer your question, they actually did like a recall. Enough people complained about, like, it was like nickel
Holy
poisoning
shit.
Or something like that. And I was like, ooh, yeah, that's yeah.
I've got a good friend who has like a super super nickel allergy.
Mm. Really?
And his wedding ring, they like told him was pure whatever, I forget what metal he wanted, but it turned out to be like 0.00000% nickel. And literally caused his finger to like swell up and like get a horrible. So like,
then he couldn't take the ring off.
No, his ring literally eats the skin off his hand.
Yeah,
so he can't wear it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, they didn't replace it?
Well, he's in the process of getting it replaced. Yeah.
We have somebody at work who has to like all their clothes, like, you know, you have like zippers on the inside, like the insides of buttons, they have to tape over it. Like anywhere like where metal makes contact with their skin.
What's the allergy?
It's just to metal in general, like copper, like anything like from copper up through like up to like palladium.
Wow.
Have you checked them for cyborg?
I would think that they like metals like nutrients to them, right?
Yeah, I think it like completes the circuit.
Okay.
Yeah,
the weird thing is that like Metallica comes on and they start, you know, I have to get out of here.
No, Metallica's not metal.
What counts as metal these days?
No. Okay, so this is a conversation everybody likes to have. What is and is not metal? Yeah. Yeah.
That's our other podcast. Yeah. Yeah. Is this metal?
Is metal or not? It is a short enough section of a song to be considered fair use, and then just a brief yes or no.
So you listen to it, you go, huh, and then you're done.
The other podcast is actually also called The Level, but it has umlauts.
On every letter, yeah.
You're going to make me figure out how to do that in Unicode, aren't you? Like, no feed reader is going to be able to parse that. The title. Come on. So, does anybody have news that they would like to bring up? I know we're not in front of our computers, so we cannot hastily Google this.
And my phone's dead, so I can't hastily Google on that either. Yeah.
Actually, something a little weird. I'm taking a course in cloud computing right now, yeah. And you know, one of the things we're learning about is how a lot of the different companies maintain their infrastructure. So just one of the little factoids I got from that class that I thought was relevant is that, Zynga. Makes like Farmville and like other Farmville and, well, apparently they generate, petabyte of data, every, I believe month it is.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy, by the way.
Which, by comparison, all of the phone traffic in the U.S. generates 8 petabytes of data every month.
And I believe, like, the Wayback Machine, like, all of the internet is, like, 10 petabytes.
Right.
what order of magnitude is a petabyte?
It's one above tera, right?
So you got mega,
I can't remember.
Giga,
I looked this up last
tera,
week.
Peta?
Maybe
it's probably like a generation or two like jump. You never hear about like a decibyte.
Yeah.
Decabyte. There we
decabyte.
Go. Decabyte. Yeah.
Is that by like a non-thousand jump? Is that like a 10 jump?
Yeah.
It's like the middle child kind of gets left in the middle there.
Yeah.
Whoa,
that actually was crosstalk.
Sorry.
I wish there was an imperial measurement for bits, and I guess bits, right, would be the imperial measurement. But
David,
you are asking people who are way too involved in that and have way too much expertise to make an offhand comment.
I was about to joke, like, hey, cloud computing, do you want me to explain that for you? But
it would actually get explained.
Well, I mean, it's eight bits is a byte, but my favorite is still that four bits is a nibble.
Is it?
That's actually the term. Four bits is a nibble.
Yeah, and six nibbles is a nosh. Yeah.
Three bites is a nosh.
Yeah.
Three bite Ross over there.
Three bite nosh Ross.
Nosh Ross.
So that's crazy. And, like, they're on the decline, too, so...
Yeah.
What are they getting all the data from? Like, what is it just, like, what people are doing?
Everything about you.
I would...
I have no idea. I'm assuming it's just, like, transfer, just bandwidth, you know, people, like, inviting people to help water their pigs.
I would like to see how that compares to, like, what Valve gathers.
Yeah.
Actually, like, that would be the more interesting one to us. Because that's more reflective of like what like a core gaming audience would value.
I was originally going to make a joke about how many petabytes 4chan had, but
Chris Hansen would show up.
I'd be curious to know like how much traffic Google handles a day, like, and how much information that would.
That feels like information that would actually be like they would like flaunt that with pride.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
like,
I'm sure I know.
That's like a Google search away.
I know that.
Cole's dealing with a computer right now.
I'm watching these levels, man, and I'm doing a terrible job. So I'm sorry, everybody.
I know that like Amazon, their like cloud service, like 30% of the U.S. internet goes through.
That's ridiculous.
Them.
Yeah.
Wow.
How much does Netflix take up? That's the one I would... If I had to pick someone that would take up the most bandwidth...
At one point, I know Netflix used 25% of the bandwidth on the internet.
Yeah, I used to know a bunch of numbers because we did videos for clients who were like, this is like doubling every month, essentially, like the amount of bandwidth that we're pushing just with streaming video alone.
Yeah.
You know?
So basically, they're going to have to start canceling things, and online gaming is next. So.
Well, yes. No, it's Moore's Law. We'll be okay, dude. Yeah.
Well, the funniest thing, though, is if you're looking at if you want your greatest bandwidth in terms of, you know, data transferred versus time or versus cost, the best thing to do is still Sneakernet. Just put a whole bunch of hard drives in a truck and UPS them to wherever they're going.
Like backup services, the service that I use to back up all of our, you know, all of my personal data and the network's data, you know, it sends all of it up to their offsite services. But if you want to re-download all of that, it would take a very, very long time. So they give you an option, like for a couple $100, they'll just send you like hard drives with all the stuff on it. Like just saying, like, hey, you know, here's your backup thing, which, you know, might or might not be worth it depending on how, you know, serious it is that you need that data back.
Yeah, okay. Google actually does that too. Also, how do we get from video games and Farmville to, like, now here's how you set up your lamp stack for your new business?
Well, no, like, well, petabyte is how we got there.
Like, we were hanging out for about an hour before we started recording, and like all that we talked about was computing
stuff.
That sounds
fun.
I'm sorry, you were off getting an extra XLR cable because I both miscounted the number of cables I had and didn't think that you would have cables.
It was literally the best conversation I've ever had with anyone.
Yeah. It was enlightening. I feel like the record show.
Cole miscounted 4.
It's a high number.
When you consider all the numbers in between, you know.
I thought that I had plenty, but I didn't. You know, everybody makes mistakes, you guys.
I forgive you guys.
Does anybody else have a story?
Oh, I've got one.
Oh, do it.
This inspired this week's multiplayer. So, there is going to be a movie set in the Last of Us universe. Yay!
And didn't they also come out and say, yeah, it's just going to be The Last of Us?
It's like going to be the sequel to the game, yeah.
Wait, it's going to be a sequel?
No.
Well,
no, not a sequel. It's going to be a direct retelling of the main story of the game.
AKA, like, they're going to take the cutscenes.
They just pile them all together.
Is it going to be live action?
It's going to be live action. At least to my understanding. What's funny is, so that I didn't know this before watching that documentary we talked, Grounded, yeah. We talked about.
Which is worth watching, by the way.
It's really good.
Yeah. The guy who plays Joel is actually super young. Yeah. Like, he's got a voice that sounds very old and grizzled, but he's like, you know, our age, something like that.
Yeah.
He's like the up-and-coming Nolan North, too, actually.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He was Booker in Bioshock Infinite.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he was the voice of the two best games of the year, probably. Close to, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so he's like, he has not denied that he is going to be in the movie yet. Where he's like, hey, I'd love to reprise my role. Or, like, we're in talks. I hope it happens. Or, you know, kind of cautiously optimistic, which would be crazy to me because that's, you know, that'll win makeup of the year.
Yeah, I was going to say, they need to get the makeup artist from Dallas Buyers Club to make that work, I bet.
Yeah.
Like, so they haven't made the Uncharted movie yet, though.
No, and I'm really hoping
that stars Nolan North.
They'd announced it, and it was like in, I don't know what stage of production it got to. That one, they never confirmed whether it was a direct retelling or whatever.
Yeah.
But it seems like time and time and time again, we've proven that if you're going to do a movie video game crossover, it's best to tailor it to the medium rather than to try, you know, forcing the video game format into a movie or forcing the movie format into a video game.
Give us a couple of examples?
I can't think of any.
Wait, like 15 minutes.
Yeah,
so
the listeners will give us a couple of examples. But it was actually like, I don't know. That was my game of the year, right? Last of Us. I'm playing through it again before Dark Souls stole all my time. we'll get to that.
Yeah.
But not in too much detail. But, you know, it's incredibly good, and it stays good when you play it again.
Yep.
And it would suck as a movie. And in fact, in the documentary, they talk about the power of being able to experience the relationship between Joel and Ellie over, you know, 60 hours instead of 2. And there's just so much more room to develop and understand it. And that's what the game is about at its core. And they just, they're not going to be able to do it in 2 hours. And I'm very disappointed. I don't know. What do you guys? Can
you,
they pull
you
it
assume that Peter Jackson is not directing? This could be 60 hours.
Sam Raimi is producing. Neil Druckmann, who's the writer for Naughty Dog, is writing.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know who's directing.
Yeah, so I think TV's kind of tapped into the same thing where it's like they just need more time to make things better, you know? And so, yeah, so like now it seems like people aren't writing for episodes anymore. They're writing for entire seasons, you know?
Oh,
yeah,
definitely.
And so, but it's the same thing with video games where they're kind of working with the same amount of time, you know? So,
can you do me a favor and don't slam on the table?
Yeah.
You have a shock mount, but it's not that great.
I love we're witnessing Ben's natural impulse to rebel, because the second Paul said, don't sit on the table, Ben was like halfway through getting ready to sit on the table again. No, it's true. And like, you know, so like the Dark Tower series, they're going to do is a movie and then a TV season. And then a
if
movie.
It ever gets developed.
We can hope. We can hope. And Aaron Paul, I hope you're listening. Yes, do please. It. Do it. Do
Aaron
it.
Aaron Paul, we know you're a fan. Okay.
So, yeah. Makes him happy. Wait, is he even done with the series yet? I thought he was still writing.
I mean, as long as he's alive, he's still going to be working on stuff that's in the Dark Tower mythos, but...
Yeah. It was the wind in the keyhole. Anyway.
Yeah.
So they,
which is really good, by the way.
I haven't read it, so that's... That'll be next on my list. I'm looking for a book to pick up. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I don't know. I just... The fact that... I think more highly of Neil Druckmann, the writer, than to believe that he would just throw it into a movie like this. And I just... It was very much a moment of disillusionment for me.
Yeah, hopefully they're using it as a cover and they're making, like, an extension movie or something.
Yes!
But,
yes.
Yeah, I don't see the point if they're telling a story that's already been told in a format that's more limited than what they've already done. Like,
Yeah.
So either somebody's lying or there is publisher pressure.
Yeah. I think we can all guess which one of those it is, sadly. That's my thing to be grumpy about. Grumpy.
Maybe this will be the equivalent of Uncharted 3.
If it means they can do that in movie form and then put out another good game instead of a bad game, I'll take it.
Yeah, that's fine.
There
you
go. There's your silver lining.
I don't want to play another bad game. Just get it out of the way in the movie. Yeah.
I can safely ignore a movie.
Yeah.
You just don't go to that building. Like, it's super easy and I'll watch it.
Ah, damn it. I went to the movie again.
Yeah. And even at that specified time, too, you know?
Yeah, because for you, if you hate a game, like, sooner or later, Sony's going to give it to you.
Steam is going to give it to you. Yeah.
Somebody's going to, like, foist it upon you.
You must play all games always. And foist is a very funny word.
Yeah. It's been long enough since we recorded. And since we're talking about movies, I just want to do, like, a quick roundtable. Who has seen the Lego movie?
Not yet.
It's so good.
Really?
That's what I've heard.
I'm saying this to people who've probably, like, watched it four times already. Like my brother came down a couple weekends ago and we went with my niece. You know, brought my niece down. And like, it is like, I thought it was going to be like a cynical, like, marketing ploy. It's totally not. So okay.
That's good to hear. It's one of those things where it's like, hey, I heard the Lego movie is really good. Yeah, me too. We should go see it. Oh, definitely. We got some free time tomorrow. And then we just get distracted.
So it's no Wreck-It Ralph, but it is in kind of in the same, like, venue, I would say.
I know it features Will Arnett's voice as Batman, right?
Yes, it does.
That sounds pretty good.
It features Will Arnett as Batman. It also has Chris Pratt from Parks and Rec as the main character. Mm-hmm. And also there is Charlie Day from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia as 80s space guy. The casting is amazing. I didn't mean to take us off the air, but like, that is like a weird adaptation from a toy to a movie, like, which hasn't been attempted, I think, since G.I. Joe or Battleship.
Yeah, we all know how good Battleship was.
Oh, Liam Neeson, how far you have fallen.
Oh. Where have they taken you? Let's see here. Ben, did you have a story? Did you want to meet your mind?
Nope. I have no computer in front of me.
Attaboy.
I'm useless.
Attaboy. And then just like real quick, this is one that I looked up right before we recorded. It's a real slow news week, actually.
Yeah.
But Walmart is doing trade-ins on games now, which is relevant to all of us as Walmart shoppers.
Yeah.
This seems like they're like a couple years late. They probably would have like gotten in on that, like, because like they're all about like buying stuff from people for cheap and driving prices down, and that is what the used game market is all about.
GameStop stock dropped like, you know, 10% or 15% upon the announcement. So
I'm a little bit surprised, though. I would think there'd be a reasonable degree of infrastructure that would have to go into that in terms of, like, yeah, I know GameStop has like the corporate blue book and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I mean, Best Buy does it, and they're relatively in the same place. So, like, it's just a matter, like, the way Best Buy handles it is whatever's traded in at that place gets sold at that place, essentially. And there's, like, a little bit of it.
It's going to be a nightmare for managing inventory.
I mean, but it's just kind of like, it's really just a way to, like, glean a couple of extra dollars off of people who are willing to pay $5 less for an inferior product. You know, like, it's really just like, oh, somebody wants to trade in this thing. We'll keep it around, and otherwise we'll destroy it. Like, it's literally a license to print money. So,
yeah.
Can you guess my stance on used games? I don't even know. It's not even that much of a story. Like, the only other one was, like, SimCity's, like, offline mode went live today, I think, which...
Right. Also, Arizona didn't pass that law to ban gays from everything. So both of them are, you know, welcome to the present.
Yeah, exactly. Welcome to this year of our Lord 2014. Grab a cell phone. They're like everywhere. It's like totally cool.
Multiplayer.
Now it's time for multiplayer, where we ask you to participate in our conversation. Kind of move this around a little bit. We're trying it still. I think I liked it. It's pretty good. We're going to get in here and make sure that we make time for what you took the time to say to us. Dennis,
yes.
What did you ask our listeners to say?
If I had a computer in front of me, I would know. As it is, it's anyone's guess. So I think it was something about...
I just drunkenly type stuff into Facebook yeah. and put a question mark okay. at the end. So
how about this? Okay, multiplayer.
Yes,
there were three exclamation
right.
marks.
Okay, three actually, and then was it something about bicycles?
Well, no.
Shit. Okay.
Why don't I just say this?
No.
Okay. Turning games into movies and vice versa is usually a horrible idea. Are there any notable exceptions we should know about? Answer. Blah blah blah. All that.
Yes. So, okay. Here we go. Yes.
No, the trick of this isn't like the Street Fighter movie. It's like either way. Like, did it work?
So. Either way, yeah. Just we need something in this black void of horribleness to show us the light and make me have a glimmer of hope that the Last of Us movie will not suck. So that's all I ask of you, internet, is to give me hope. Oh, what? Man, I am turning to the wrong place for hope.
Yep.
Man, when did I get that reputation? Probably sometime in my childhood.
When you started wearing black.
Go ahead, Dennis. Start us off with whoever we have. I've got these printed out, so before we recorded, I printed them and I cut them into sheets.
Dude,
for all of us.
Cole's admin skills are off the charts.
Pro.
It's rather impressive. So I'm going to start with Murph and just brief shout out. Murph guested last week for our very special Dark Souls 2 spoiler cast.
You guys blew the lid off of it. I think that your insights really arrived kind of at the heart of the matter.
Yeah, I was impressed. I mean, we didn't talk about it on air, but we got some access to developers to get behind the scenes understanding of things, and
didn't understand a single word they said, but you caught all of it.
Yes,
all in the eyebrows.
Yep. Yeah.
But it was a thoroughly enjoyable time, and I hope more of you get to experience the awesomeness that is Murph.
Yeah.
Any rate,
we should say Murph does the Dork Knight podcast,
yes.
and also Hours Played.
Yes. So both worth your time. And he is going to be respectful of our time because he says very simply, teenage mid.
Much better than Dennis.
Yeah. It's a short answer, so I got to stretch it out. Yeah. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3. Turtles in Time is a perfect adaptation. Not sure if sarcastic, because I'm not familiar with either the movie or the game version, so help me out.
Okay, so the only three Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movies I know are the first one, the second one, which was The Secret of the Ooze.
Third one? Really?
And then the third one, where they went back to feudal Japan.
Which one had Vanilla Ice?
That was the second one. Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go.
And the third one of the turtles put its head in the shell to dodge a cannonball.
Yes, he did.
I remember. That's the only thing I remember.
Wasn't that straight to video, too?
No, it was in theaters.
Okay.
I saw it in theaters.
Ooh.
Yeah. Friday night of. Yeah. Jason was a reveal halfway through the movie that he was one of the characters.
Jason or what's his name?
Jason.
Yeah.
Jason. No.
Dude with the mask.
Oh man.
Dude with the Jason mask.
The hockey player, Casey Jones.
Yeah, that's
the one. Yeah, no, wasn't he in 2?
Maybe.
I could swear he was. What was he doing in Japan?
I don't know, but that was the reveal, like halfway in. I was a kid when I saw it. I had no idea what was going on.
It didn't make any sense. It was totally like a reveal.
Yeah. So what I'm gleaning from this is that the game being the perfect adaptation of the movie, or he doesn't specify, it could be the movie being the perfect adaptation of the game, though I doubt it's that way around,
yeah.
Was because they were both equally horrible? Maybe? This time, he made a Mass Effect 3 reference, and I totally missed it. I felt so bad. But
I know. I mean, the old arcade Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was awesome.
Well, yeah, so. Just like any of those Konami like beat 'em ups, though. Like it's like literally the same engine with like different skins on top of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I'm not saying like it's like
okay.
I'm just saying a fact about a thing.
Like, if it ain't broke, reskin it.
It's it's not a value judgment. Yeah. Ben, how about you? What's Gary say?
Gary says, Spider-Man 2 is probably the best I can think of. For a great discussion of this, watch the Errant Signal video called Adaption Consternation.
Adaptation Consternation.
Adaptation Consternation.
There we go.
Show notes.
I'll say that I'll edit that, but I won't.
That's fine.
Was that the one where the webs like would actually like stick to the various things? Yeah, that was really cool.
That is a game where the mechanic is the game.
Exactly.
Missions were arbitrary.
Exactly.
Yeah, like to the point where one of the missions is like you delivering pizza via Spidey powers.
Nice. Yeah.
But so that's not an instance of them adapting a movie. It's like adapting what would be fun about being Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Right.
See, like I think accurately.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing that makes so many games fail is that they try to adapt the movie as opposed to adapting what people want to experience about the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The least important thing about the adaptation is the plot when you're going from movie to game. Like, it's what feels cool about this movie.
Because otherwise, Spider-Man would just be press B to emo.
So in a really weird twist, I have played I've played the Spider-Man 1 movie game. I have played the Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2 PlayStation 1 games, not based on a movie. Yeah. I have not played the Spider-Man 2 game, which is like the really, really good example. Yeah. So it's like a very specific blind spot for goodness.
those PS1 games were not bad. Like they didn't have the web slinging, but they were pretty like fun beat 'em up kind of things.
I mean, so it's always hard to tell how much of it is like kid enjoying just not knowing that there's better stuff out there. But yeah, I remember I played through it several times, so
yeah,
worth at least a couple times.
Especially two, it was like Revenge of Electro or whatever it was.
Yeah, and they had the different kind of web add-ons.
Developed by Naughty Dog, actually.
You're kidding me.
Naughty Dog.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I might have that on a disc somewhere in my parents' house. I might need to go fish that back out.
No, not Naughty Dog. What am I saying? Neversoft.
Oh, yeah. It is Neversoft. Yeah. I was like, oh, wow.
It began with an N, so like, okay.
Yeah, same close thing.
Enough. Whoops. Oh, well. But yeah, I agree. That's as good of one as any.
Sure. James Robinson says, I'd like to mention the UK publisher Ocean, who produced quite a few movie license games from the C64/Amiga. The 1988 Batman game was great, as it took famous scenes from the movie and produced a variety of different game types, driving, platform levels, etc. The first level has a pre-jokerified Jack as the boss. He only takes one hit and plummets into the chemical vat. Nice. That sounds a little bit morbid, but nice bit of storytelling for an 80s platformer. P.S. Cole, this game has a grappling hook in it.
Oh, so it's okay for me to like it.
Yes.
There's something similar to that in the NES Batman game based on the movie, I believe.
What do you mean?
I wonder if that's the where you knock the guy who becomes the Joker into the vat.
Is his name Jack?
Jack Napes or whatever. Or like no, Jack Napier.
Okay.
Yeah. You know.
So they must have knew they were casting Jack Nicholas or
maybe. I think that like some comics alluded to that. You know, was like a playoff of like a Jack, you know, Jack and Apes or Monkey Shines or whatever. Like it's all.
Yeah, that DC heroes and villains always are stupid puns, whereas Marvel ones just are always alliteration.
Yeah, it's a description of what they do.
Enigma.
Yeah. what am I thinking of here? Like Europe and Japan, like in the late 80s, just had all these weird computers. Whereas like we had consoles, they had like, oh, it was the Amiga Vision 2600.
Oh, yeah, because that's what like Mulana, El Mulan or La Mulan or whatever he's trying to look like.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's cool. Like awesome music came out of that, but it's like, that's a whole scene that we didn't, you know, like, have any insight into. I think that I played, like, the first Leisure Suit Larry on an Amiga at, like, a friend's house.
Yeah. You've had one very specific experience with that console, and yeah. Otherwise nothing.
And yeah. Oh man, just no insight, no purview.
That is the weird, like, it was a computer, it had like the computer interface and everything, but really it just had a couple games on it and theoretically could do everything else, but
do you remember that scene from the original Vacation where Clark Griswold is trying to show the family like their route from Chicago to Wally World, and they pull up the Atari computer and Russ plugs in the second joystick and it goes after the family truckster with Pac-Man? That was fucked, right?
Technology.
Is that where we're going with this?
Is that where everything is headed?
This is a high level of judgment coming from that statement.
Yeah. Matt Bennett says, the Resident Evil series, while they aren't good movies per se, they are enjoyable.
Yeah. This is actually one of mine. We were talking beforehand. I feel very conflicted about a lot of these, particularly Resident Evil, because they're not good movies, but they definitely have a special place in my heart.
Oh, yeah. My God, yes. Do you remember the one-liner? Best one-liner of all
the
time.
The entire... this was the one that's actually in Raccoon City.
The first two were in...
I can't even remember.
Well, not in the mansion or where... The second one
was Afterlife or whatever, where it had Nemesis in it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the entire movie is just... All right.
Yeah.
But then, like, right in the middle...
You mispronounced series, by the way. But yeah. Oh, yeah.
the right in the middle, there's just this one-liner where, like, everything aligns and just the timing and everything is perfect.
So, we won't recapture it here. Obviously, you had to be there. But it's, so the end of some big fight and, you know, they've got the infected dogs or whatever that... And he puts one of them down. It's like the last bad guy. He puts it down with a gunshot and he's like... Stay.
And just the entire time, like, it's like the entirety of the movie was leading up to that point.
The entirety of the Resident Evil movie series, before and after, was leading up to coming down.
So the rest of the movies would be like, hey, remember how awesome that scene was? Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah, the entire series was leading up to that. Then they did three more movies after.
Yeah. But I think we literally, like, watching that, me and David watched it, like, stood up out of our chairs, we're like,
oh, no, he didn't.
Like, the third movie after that is, like, they're conversations over. The one's like trying to awkwardly leave the room, be like, hey, I gotta go home. But
it's like, hey, God, remember
that was awesome though. Let's yeah.
The only other thing I remember of that is they're right after that they decide to split up and their team is made up of like the random kung fu chick, the two special forces dude people, the cop, and like the Russian mercenary and unarmed TV reporter, and they decide to all split up but send the unarmed person alone, and that always bothered me.
You're good, right? Yeah. You got that camera, right? That'll do stuff, yeah.
It's like, we all have extensive combat training, but you should be good.
Yeah. No, we're referring to Resident Evil Apocalypse, which I recall, because I frequented the theater pretty often at that point, and... There was an image of the actress who played Jill Valentine standing like naked in a graveyard or something, which was very
like as a movie poster.
Yeah, like she was like covered up. She was like, yeah, you know. But like I was like, huh, that's
a naked lady.
That is a-okay to me. But...
I shall watch this movie.
Graveyard nudity 4.
not to be shallow or anything. Oh no, it's Mila. Yeah, it's Mila Jovovich. Huh. Sorry, I just Google image searched it. Everybody leans over. Yeah. And we have one last one.
Yeah. Sure. So background to me, Geolaw says, I don't know if fan productions count, but Fallout Nuka Break is pretty decent in my opinion. It's a short fan film that they expanded into a web series, and it's a pretty loving homage to the games. I am not familiar, so I will defer.
I've never seen it, so I can't say one way or another. I wonder if this is part of the conversation. I don't know because it is fan work.
I mean, there's been some really good ones. You know, the Portal one, didn't we actually discuss on the air once?
We watched it after an episode.
Oh, okay, that's what it was, yeah.
Yeah, that was good. Surprisingly well done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not aware of this one, but
I saw. I don't know how recent that one's release is. There was just in the news a fan made Fallout movie trailer for a live action movie that they did.
It might be the same one.
Okay, then yeah. maybe that's actually it. But I saw it like yesterday in the news. So he's way on point in terms of current events.
Yeah.
If that is the case, and it is a very short turnaround time to get to a. expanded web series. Yeah. Man, that internet sure is using moving fast these days.
Sure is using moving fast.
Slow down.
Just slow your roll.
What ABV was that beer you gave me?
Let's see here. We have one more response that came in after I printed out the slips of paper, which was Christopher Schley, who said, I didn't mind Back to the Future by Telltale. Sure, it wasn't close to their best game offerings, but I just loved kind of going through a new Back to the Future story again, even if it was one of the earliest, easiest adventure games I had played in my entire life. Still, Back to the fucking Future! As far as film adaptations, probably Silent Hill. It kind of sucks. But don't they all? But it seems like they actually tried to do something with it, even if they made weird-ass changes for no reason and somehow made Pyramid Head less creepy with every foot taller he stood than in the games. I don't know why it's, quote, okay. I don't know. It's, quote, okay, which I can't say about many other film adaptations. It's also super cheat and say Wreck-It Ralph, since even having some background characters from various video games provided a more interesting story than actual full movies based on games.
Loophole right there.
Yeah, that it is.
I see what you did. Nice. Yeah.
No, so I'd like to see... Okay, so let's do the Wreck-It Ralph game and then convert that back into a movie. And then run the entire script through Babelfish. And then run it back into the English from Babelfish.
Wreck-It Ralph, the movie, the game, and then, the movie.
And then have the script rewritten by Uwe Boll. And then written by someone competent.
What's funny is Murph responded like right after that and said, clearly we played different Back to the Future games because the one I played was terrible and boring.
fight, 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 fight.
Yes. So let's take bets. No, I own the Back to the Future games because I got like a humble Telltale bundle or whatever. Mm-hmm. Haven't played any of them, but like
I played the demo when I was drunk.
even then,
it was tough. Yeah, I don't know.
Although there's been a couple like the Hitchhiker's Guide, text-based game. I guess text-based kind of adventure game?
It does, yeah. But that also had like Douglas Adams writing it himself.
Yeah.
It's also based on a book, so get out of the conversation.
Yeah, we don't read here.
A book that became a movie, then a radio play, then a movie, then...
Well, no, it was a radio play that became a book that became a movie.
Oh, did it start out as a radio play?
Yeah.
Oh.
That was a bad movie.
Well, I liked the movie. Sam Rockwell. But the new one I liked with Martin Freeman? Right? Am I saying that name right?
Yeah.
Martin Freeman. Okay. I'm like my weird phobia is just saying movie star names wrong because I have a horrible mind for that.
That's why I just don't remember any of them.
You know Blue Velvet with Dennis Hooper?
Yeah. Well, I think I tweeted this. I don't know how this happens, but I have repeatedly in multiple different contexts and conversations gotten Dan Aykroyd and Ben Affleck mixed up.
Whoa.
I don't know how that happens. They're like, yeah, I heard Dan Aykroyd was a new Batman. Like,
that is awesome.
And I was really insistent about it for like a half hour before we Googled.
So much like, neuroses.
Batman Beyond, but with... Okay, so it's Batman Beyond, but with Dan Aykroyd playing the original Bruce Wayne.
Oh.
Let's do it, you guys.
So we should talk about we should comment on the Silent Hill movie too.
Yes, we should, because that was going to be ours.
Yeah. So that clear as far as video game to movie, that seems to be one of the best examples I can think of.
Yeah, the clearest.
Can I talk about it in a spoilery sense?
It's been out for like 10 years.
Okay. So I watched the movie with you guys. This is back when we were all in the dorm room. I watched the movie with you guys and I was like, I hated it. It was stupid. And then you're like, no, she was dead the whole time. And then it
like
was
that
like,
would make it better.
Yeah. No, it did. I rethought it. I was like, I get it. It's good now. I like it. Like it, that was it was.
Wait, but how did she die?
She in the car crash. I don't know. I,
well, that was...
I
no. All right, so maybe to perhaps contradict you, at the end of the movie, you had a theory about the movie. I forget what it was, but you like.
Did I have a theory?
You had an analysis of the movie by the end of the movie.
Table.
You. Oh, sorry. And I'm very. I talk with my hands, but not like Cole. I don't shake them in the air. I shake them on the table.
Anyway, shakes them in the air like he just doesn't
But you
care.
Also missed a golden opportunity to say, I watched that with your mom, to me.
Did I?
Because she, yeah, she watched it with us.
Oh, I must have repressed that.
Yeah, well, yeah, whatever.
But anyway, yeah, so like I watched the movie. And I mean, I'm not a huge horror movie fan, so I tolerate it. And I was like, it was all right. And then you're like. And then you pointed out to me that then she was dead the whole time, or you know, for most of the time, or whatever, and that just made you know a bunch of stuff click. And I was like, oh, okay, that was pretty good then.
I just disliked the barbed wire rape scene.
Yeah, that was distasteful. That movie should have ended like before its fourth act.
Just because the whole rest of the movie wasn't that.
I would say that's consistent with Silent Hill, though. Usually they have a grotesque figure at the end as, mm-hmm. like, the major boss fight. And so I thought it was consistent with that.
Yeah. So, like, what I will say, so, you know, since our thesis is you have to capture the essence in order to make it, like, a good, you know, adaptation, like, the plot followed, like, oh, first we go to the school, then we go to the hospital, then we go, and it felt like, uh-huh. like, oh, just, like, going through video game kind of things. But, like, what's awesome about Silent Hill, like, accepting, like, the weird, like, metaphysical, creeping horror kind of stuff is, like, the mood and the atmosphere. Like the setting and the attention to detail, the attention that they gave to the visual detail of the movie, and just kind of like how faithfully they like represented and added to like the visual presentation of it was actually like super impressive to me.
I was very impressed by the fact that they were able to use the same creatures but also put them in a new context. So the creature that's in the beginning of Silent Hill 2, the one with no arms.
The patient demon.
Yeah. How they were able to use that in a new context of mm-hmm. that came out when she was handcuffed. And so it represented, you know, like, you know, it mirrored her
it was duality,
at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the fact that they were – well, and the director, Christoph Gans, like, had justifications for all the decisions he made mm-hmm. in the movie, you know, because I know some of the people were criticizing him for using Pyramid Head in the movie, but mm-hmm. his rationale was since it was in a painting in Silent Hill 2, it was an objective part of the world, and it was not just, you know.
And that's what people say, like, that it, like, Pyramid Head represents the Red God and Valtiel is the Yellow God. Okay, well, we're going down a hole here, so.
But the fact that at least the director was conscious enough to mm-hmm. – objectify his decisions based on the mythos and based on the universe,
rather than just say like this is the mega like sexual assaulty, you know, like mascot for this series, like to actually show that he did his homework.
He wasn't just parading around cool moments from the game.
They were both intentional and competent, mm-hmm. which I feel is that intersection that can make something like that stand.
No, I haven't seen Revelation at all or whatever it is.
Oh, that's the one where it's like 3D nurse sexy stabby.
Yeah.
Yeah, nurses' skirts are higher in this one. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that was true of like Resident Evil 3 as well. Like, they hypersexualized. Like, as the series goes on, the nurses get more sexualized.
Yeah.
Nemesis was like in this sexy outfit. It was really weird.
It's like the different like series, I guess. Like, not even the same publisher, even.
Again, it makes sense in Silent 2 because they reflect the main character.
Yes, they do.
Doesn't make sense after that. Yeah.
Well, like, they're still like hypersexy in 3, though.
Yeah.
Because of.
Don't say, haven't played it yet.
Ooh. Statue of limitations on that one?
Yeah, real. It's getting,
how
getting,
many years is that one?
Getting real scale there, man. Holy shit, 11 years.
Yeah. Jeez. Don't ruin Pac-Man for me, by the way. I haven't beat it yet.
Oh, man. Okay.
I don't know what the ghost represents.
So I first, this is going to feel really ridiculous for a person who's like 26 to say, but like when things that you objectively like love that you feel like made a mark on your life, you know, like when you realize, oh, they're 10 years old, they're 15 years old or whatever. Like I first had that twinge in 2008 when I realized that both Resident Evil 2 and Metal Gear Solid were both 10 years old.
Ooh.
You know, like I was like, that's kind of crazy, like a decade has passed since then. But realizing that like more than a decade has passed between like Silent Hill 2 and 3 and today, and like this year is going to be a 10 year for Silent Hill 4, It's like, whoa, that is a long time ago.
Yeah.
Not only are the things I love old, but then the shitty beating into the ground.
The watered down versions of those things are old as well.
I like 4. It's not great, but like, it has its own like unique feel, and that's what's good about survival horror games.
No, I'm midway through Silent Hill 1, still stolen from you on the same night as
which you still have.
Yeah. Let's get Dennis another beer. See how much he can steal from you tonight, Cole. Your entire game collection is across the room from us right now.
This is my opportunity to play Saints Row 4, which I hear is good. But then I'm a level into 3 before. It's so funny. I think the most adamant I've ever seen you on playing me, because I'm like, oh, I'm playing Silent Hill 3, and you're like, have you played 1? And I was like, nah. And you're like, stop.
Collaborate and listen.
for the majority of the series, it really doesn't matter because so many of them are standalone. Like 4 maybe references 2 a little bit, and like just there are like echoes and stuff, but like 3 is a direct sequel to 1.
Yeah.
So
and 1 holds up. I mean,
yeah.
Again, it's one of those things where gaming momentum has just stopped for me, so I need to get back into it. But it held up pretty well.
Yeah. How about you, Dennis? What's your favorite like adaptation either way?
Yeah, I've got 2 that I held in my mind. Both are very obscure, and both are from movie form to video game form.
Okay.
The first one was X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Oh, it was like God of War.
Or any one of those kind of, what do you call it? Not a hack and slash.
I just like a stylistic character driven action game.
Or like a DMC or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they did a really good job with it. The core gameplay was fun. And that ultimately, you know, no matter what window dressing you put on it, if the core gameplay is fun, then you're going to have a good time. They also, I thought, just did a really good job capturing the feeling of Wolverine. That it's the one superhero where being just this bullet sponge that, you know, the screen goes red, and then if you hide for a little bit, it goes back to regular. One place where that makes sense.
It's like built into the narrative.
Yeah.
Were you here for our pre-show conversation about
best conversation that I ever had?
No.
We had a conversation which basically boiled down to, I don't like Wolverine.
Yeah. No, it's cloud computing and Wolverine. It was crazy how we bridged those two.
And the intersection of the
Segway
two.
Segway challenge.
but it was really fun. And I think it was surprisingly brutal. And again, I hesitate to hold that up as like, oh, the game was brutal, it was so cool, because that's very 90s. but it just surprised me that it was very much, what if we, show Wolverine as animalistic as possible and play out that thesis throughout the game. So to the point where, someone handcuffs him to like a wall or whatever, to a pipe, and to get out, he just rips the skin off his hand because he knows it'll grow back. And, it was just, so the core gameplay was fun, and it was, you could see this thesis of Wolverine is totally an animal.
And they had the really cool, graphically, the regeneration, where you would actually, like, get bullet holes, or if you, like, sword-handed, like, a gas tank, you would get, like, horrible burns on you that like over time.
Yeah, like there was a scene where he like got like caught in a nuclear explosion and you saw him go back from like a T-1000 to like being Wolverine. Like it was crazy. And like what's weird about that is like now that Disney owns Marvel, like they won't be able to like do anything like that grisly with Wolverine again.
Which I don't get that. Like what?
Yeah.
Anyway, never mind.
That's where that character, like that's the ethos of that character. And so I thought it was well done in that game. Go ahead.
Well, I was trying to think of, like, what's the cutoff line? Like, when does he die? You know, like, so if he's skeleton, his body grows back?
I may have been exaggerating.
Although there have been, like, comics where that's basically been the case.
Yeah,
like,
regenerates from one cell or something like that.
I think I would guess it would be, like, the zombie thing as long as the brain survives.
So you shoot him in the head and then he's dead?
Isn't that what they established in that crappy movie? Origins or whatever.
Narrow it down.
Yeah. No,
like there's one,
that
two,
series
first
took
class.
A nosedive. Yeah.
I have no idea. So write in and tell us, because
like there are people who know more. Like I've read like New X-Men and Astonishing X-Men and like a smattering of stuff before that. So like I can't be an authority on like what Wolverine actually is.
That is Infinite X-Men more than I have read.
Okay,
because so like the extreme case is like separate him into all of his atoms. Which one grows back? You know,
I think, yeah.
You actually get 1 billion Wolverines.
They all grow back. Yeah,
but like the that's how they created them in the Weapon X program, which was they stripped off all of his skin and coated his skeleton with adamantium, and then you know he regenerated back over it. That's why he was selected for that program, because of his mutant healing factor.
Yes.
See, I never understood that. If you can just regenerate by anything, why do you need metal like bones? Like just to let him get killed.
Do you see how cool those claws look?
Yeah, I think that might have actually been what it is. Like so that he wouldn't have to, like, I don't even know. See.
Yeah, write in and tell us.
It's a comic book. Like, it doesn't have to make sense. Like, he just has to cut some shit up.
See, but it's read cool, by right? nerds. Therefore, people have to argue about whether it's.
What was your second one, Dennis?
So another comic book turned into a movie, turned into a video game that I thoroughly acknowledge, or completely acknowledge. I don't know if that's the right word. Mm-hmm. I acknowledge that it is a, you know, B+ game at best, but it is Wanted.
Yeah.
And it was just for the pure fact that curving bullets was so much fun.
Yeah.
And really...
Did it have commentary by Morgan Freeman?
Sadly, no.
And the curving bullets actually was a important, legitimate part of the game.
It worked. Yeah, it was a mechanic that worked really well.
Yeah, that was developed by Grin, the guys who did the Bionic Commando games.
The new bot, yeah,
both
yeah.
of them.
Well, the remakes of the remake of the original one, the sequel to the remake, and then the updated 2009 wife arm version. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
wife arm.
Yeah, his wife is his arm. I don't know how I can make this any clearer for you.
Yeah, but that one again was just, it captured the ethos of the movie really well. The plot, it followed loosely, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even remember if it stuck close at all.
It followed the comic book more than anything. Like, it was more like his uniform, like his crazy assassin.
Yeah, they brought
thing.
They brought
except
the
for the
back.
Whole, like, rape stuff.
Yeah. Ugh, man, let's not keep saying that word, please.
Sorry.
Yeah, it is ruined. Apparently that is the bane of...
Yeah, of adaptations.
Yeah. Stop it, people. God. yeah, so I enjoyed that one.
Mm-hmm.
And those are my two.
That's really
good. Yeah, that is very good.
I feel like it's a lot tougher finding movies to video games that are good.
I mean, like, okay, so
I guess they're both.
How loose do you want to do this? Because, like, Telltale, like, their stock and trade is this, and, like, Walking Dead is a phenomenal representation
of
what those comic books are about. So, like, both of the ones that you mentioned are comic book to video game, so...
That's true, but a comic book's a movie to video game, so it holds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where's the movie, Walking Dead?
There's a television show.
Doesn't count.
How about you, David? Do you have a favorite?
Resident Evil.
Oh, you did.
I would throw out the YouTube Mortal Kombat is really
that trailer?
Really cool. Yeah. Well, not the
series,
trailer, but
yeah.
The series.
Oh, really? I didn't know there was a...
Is that the later years?
It's got
the
legs.
Series?
No, although the Street Fighter the later years is also pretty good. And then the anime of Devil May Cry is actually surprisingly has some redeeming value.
Really? I've watched the first two episodes of that.
It's corny, it's stupid, but in terms of like adaptations to games, I'm...
GoldenEye. I just thought of it.
Oh!
Well, you guys just, like, here, maxed out the levels.
Here, Ben, you may drop my mic.
No,
dump.
Just knock my condenser microphone off the ground. Like, come on, man.
But,
That's a great one.
I feel like... Can I argue... Imagination as card game adaptation? Does that count? Is that close
Keep
enough?
Keep beating that drum.
Yes, because it's amazing.
I think I actually have that over there on my shelf. So that was the multiplayer. Did you said you like we're both simpatico on Silent Hill, right?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that Mario the movie was terrible. Yeah. It's really terrible.
My favorite thing, they were talking to, what's his name, Captain Lou Albano, the guy who played Mario.
Was he a porn star?
No, you're thinking of the porn adaptation, Super Hornio Brothers, where Ron Jeremy played Mario. I'm not kidding.
Of course he would, yeah.
Like, I'm not kidding you. Like,
isn't it Bob something?
Oh, Bob Hoskins, yeah. Yeah. Like a super serious, like, English actor. Like, you know, like in 2007, shortly before he passed, actually. Somebody asked him about it in an interview. He said, yeah, my daughter needed to go to college.
That was his boat movie.
Yeah. His boat movie.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yes, it was terrible.
Although the cartoon. Good stuff.
Good.
So I was going to say, this can be off air, because I remember you asked me what were some examples of a boat movie, and I couldn't think of any. Like, Philip Seymour Hoffman's Hunger Game movies? Boat movies.
Wait, what is a boat movie?
That's just a movie that you get to buy your boat.
Yeah. So it's basically like the movie equivalent of Breaking Bad?
No, it's just a movie you do like strictly for the paycheck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bill Murray, Garfield.
Yeah.
No, he thought it was a Coen Brothers movie.
I don't buy that. I think he thought that.
No, he did. Like, he did a Reddit MA, and he talked about like how like he went and he tried to like improve the script as much as possible once he realized what he got into. But
I don't know if I buy that.
Contractually obligated to do the sequel, and
I remember. So back to the Mario Brothers movie. This is just kind of funny, sir. I'll let you guys be the judge. It came out a summer when my family went to Myrtle Beach for vacation. That was like,
it's like
what, 1993?
Kid's dream for vacation.
Like,
right?
A little, yeah, you're going
putt-putt
to the
everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. No, I recognize that it's like super trashy now, but like for a little kid, we're not worried about like hygiene or getting tetanus. It's, you know, it's perfectly fine. Before your neuroses set in, Myrtle Beach is fantastic.
That's actually their slogan, by the way.
Myrtle Beach, before your neuroses set in, .. My mom, it was like a super special trip. Like, you know, we're out here at the beach. You know, the Super Mario movie came out. Like, Cole really loves video games. He loves Mario. Let's take him to go see this. You know, he's like, let's do this. And we got out of it, and like, I just remember we were filling the car up at the gas station afterwards, and like I was like, just I'm like, oh yeah, we saw it, you know, thinking like, hey, it's Mario, right? And my mom looked at me and said, you know that movie was bad, right?
That's when Cole became an adult.
Instantly, the beard just appeared.
Spawned, yeah.
So, I've actually never seen that movie.
And then he had neuroses and had to leave New Myrtle Beach.
I was escorted out by,
time to go,
by hired goons.
I just like the progression of, the movie was bad? The movie was bad.
Things can be bad? I know a bunch of things that are bad.
Myrtle Beach is bad.
Oh man! So that was the multiplayer. Thank you everybody for participating in that conversation. Mm-hmm. If you would like to submit your thoughts, we generally put those up on our Facebook group on Tuesday afternoons. That is facebook.com/TheLevelPodcast. Additionally, I was waiting for you to sneeze, but that was a yawn. Okay. Additionally, there's duckfeed.tv/contact and all of those. You guys, I'm ready to hear about what we've been playing. So, section break.
The grind.
Now it's time for the grind, where we talk about the games that we personally have been playing over the past, that's been 2 weeks or so, right?
2 weeks. Mm-hmm.
2 weeks. Cool. Who wants to go first? You.
I'll do it. I have played and beat one game, and it was the game that I was talking about 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
South Park.
You're gonna play South Park, The Stick of Truth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Beatable in 2 weeks, huh?
It was beatable in 1 week, but
wow.
We, you know.
Then I failed.
Did you just play it nonstop, or is it a short game?
It's probably about maybe 8 to 10 hours. Maybe.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I should not say that with that judgment in my voice. Like, yeah. There's nothing wrong with being a short game.
Are you good gamer, or was it a short game?
I'm sorry, that is. I need to look out for that.
No, all right,
yeah, check your privilege.
Continue. If you hated it, then I can be judgmental.
No, it was totally worthwhile. If you're a fan of the series, I think you'll appreciate the game. It really like nails the humor of the show. Mm-hmm. So yeah. And it even gets better as it goes on. So, like, the second half is strong.
So, like, nice. Usually with a game that's, like, funny like that, they waste a lot of their good material at the beginning.
Up front, yeah.
Like, they actually pace it.
Yes. Nice. Yes. And they pace it well. So it's an RPG, technically. The classes, I think I went over this last time, but it's, like, the fighter, the mage, the thief, and the Jew.
Yeah, the paladin.
And don't, yeah, play as the Jew, man. That's the funniest one. I did not do that my playthrough, so, you know, yeah. Learn from my mistakes. But, you know, yeah, it's all in good humor, I think. But yeah, the fighting system's kind of interesting. It's very timing based, and so
I've heard comparisons like Super Mario RPG, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like Paper Mario or something like
that. That's what I was gonna say. Yep.
Yeah. So basically, the way it works is when you attack someone, a shimmer and a sound effect will go off. Mm-hmm. If you press the button around that time, it'll do extra damage. When someone attacks you, a circle beneath your feet and a sound effect will go off. If you press it in the right time, mm-hmm. it'll take less damage.
That's basically Mario RPG, Paper Mario.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So, like, do they make it so it's pointless to not try and do those? Like, is it where if you don't hit that mark, you do, like, 2 damage? Or is it, like yeah. actually a bonus?
Yeah, you do 1 damage, I believe, for when you hit it. They give you enough window that it's fair. The way they make it more interesting is that the timing's different for each move. And okay. so you learn different timings.
Which is the case. Like, you just, like, and again, Mario, you have to, like, memorize the animations and know roughly in the stroke of the arc where you get it.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I mean, it was interesting. They did enough to make it into the South Park world. One of the statuses that the person could get is, I think, grossed out. And, like, that's where, so instead of, like, healing yourself, you just eat food to increase health. But if you're grossed out, you can't eat food.
Right.
If that makes sense. Huh. And, yeah.
Do they keep it, like, in the, you know, we're kids playing pretends kind of thing? Like how yes. much do they lean into that? Because that seems pretty awesome to me.
Actually. Yeah. Yeah. It is very much like that. All of your weapons are make-believe weapons to some extent. I guess there's some points where you get actual swords, but you can, like, hit people with it on the street and it doesn't do anything to them. So you kind of assume that it's just make-believe.
I heard it was like you get, like, a lightning spell and it's like you douse someone in water and toss them a car battery or something like that.
I don't know how much of a spoiler this is. This is like a cold preface. I don't know how much of a spoiler this is. I saw this in the intro trailer, sort of.
If they publicize it, yeah. so angry.
I know. Well, okay, yeah. I saw a Reddit article about it beforehand, so I guess that's just funny. Instead of spells, they have farting, where you fart on people, and so... with some people, it can be like you light it on fire before you do it, and so it's like a fire attack.
How do you electrify a fart?
I don't know how you do
Very
that.
Carefully.
I don't know if they do that in the game or not, but yeah, I'd be interested in replaying it to find that out.
I can't remember where I heard the whole, like, or toss you a toaster in the bath or something like that. It was like a joke about electric attack.
Okay.
I can't remember where I heard it or whether it was in context of the actual battle system or just like a joke that they pulled.
They do have electrical attacks, but they usually fit in context, like Butters, like Thor-esque character will do that. You know, something like that. So they do a good job of having it all kind of make sense within the world.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's definitely a strength is in its writing. It's very funny and it's very much the humor of South Park. So
I mean, can you see Obsidian's fingerprints on it at all? Like you texted me and said like you saw a bug. So like Obsidian can't make a stable game. Lol. But like
to be fair, that was like at the very end of the game. So yeah. It wasn't that bad. You know, the bugs did not get in the way of the gameplay. I thought this was a lot different than anything they had done previously, but Obsidian's usually pretty good about adapting to whatever style they're in.
Yeah.
So, like, the Knights of the Old Republic game that Obsidian did is like a Knights of the Old Republic game. The Fallout game that they did is like a Fallout game, you know? Yeah. So they just kind of, they're very good at adding little flourishes. One of the coolest parts about the South Park game is you make the character based on how you look.
So yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
You sent me the picture.
Yeah. And so you can make something that's pretty accurate. And I remember they had this, like back in, like, 2005, they had a website, Create Your Own South Park Character.
Yeah, I did that.
my
little, like, proto-blog thing.
Yeah. So you can play as that character, which is kind of cool, you know? Yeah. So
I saw there was a Polygon article about how some girl wasn't able to create a girl version, even though you can make it look like a girl. It was they never referred to her as she. Okay. Like the character is male just for purposes of the story, and, like, you know, the girls are in South Park always the other, and
Yeah.
It's there, so there's no, like, male-female choice, I understand.
Okay, yeah.
And there was a whole article written about how that's a bummer and it's not, you know, a missed opportunity. And it was one of those things where it's like, okay. Like, there are real issues on that front, and then there are, like, fake Me Too issues on that front. And it felt like very much a fake Me Too issue.
It seems like you should make the character class as flexible as you can, but mm-hmm. you shouldn't restrict your story to do so.
Well, yeah, and in the article, and this is, she even said this in the article. She's like, in the article, she says they'd have to completely rewrite the script yeah. to allow you to be a girl.
Yeah, and that's
and
true.
So it doesn't make sense for them to do it. But man, is it a bummer that they didn't do it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, like what?
Part of the game is a commentary on girls to some extent. So I'll just leave it at that. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's little kids and girls are icky and blah, blah, blah. Like, that's yeah. just a part of the, it's a part of the thing. Like,
yeah.
even more so than like it being a Me Too kind of thing. It's more like pick your battles. Like, you may entirely have a point, but it's just kind of like, I mean.
Well, and I don't want to use the like pick your battles argument because I don't want to invalidate, you know, anything that's mm-hmm. wrong is wrong. It's more like, hey, here's this, you know, the games industry as a whole is thinking a lot about these gender issues right now, which mm-hmm. is a very good thing. But since that's popular, and I think it is popular right now, which is, again, very good thing, I'm just going to take it and apply it to every game because I know it'll get clicks.
Yeah.
And I felt like that was the part that was right. that was icky.
Yeah. I mean, obviously you don't want to have every game be like where you can be any kind of character
right.
because there's certain games where you want a very specific character. Last of Us is an example where it's like Bioshock Infinite, where the character you don't want to fill with your own opinions necessarily. You want to see how they react in a situation.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
They I could say character. Like, you know, what if Scarface was a woman? That would be a really interesting movie to make, and it would totally rewrite the plot.
I would watch that.
Well, and it's like, yes, that would be interesting, but it would be a very different thing from what it is, and it's okay that it is what it is. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, total tangent.
It like for as childish as it would have been, like, you know, for childish as they are, it doesn't seem like it was done with malice. It was
no.
just like this is just the world that this game takes place in. So
yeah.
like it's a totally valid point, but it's also here, you know, just like this is the oeuvre we're working within.
A rare example yeah. of a developer being choiceful.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, just like it was. I mean, based on what you're saying, you know, in your spoiler, you know, rich thing where the bad guys are all girls,
that was not said.
yeah, you know, just it was intentional, and it was, you know, and it was based on something at least, and it wasn't Batman.
Yeah.
We are walking straight into.
Yeah. Send your angry email to Colt.
yeah.
question I had for you is, so I've watched a little bit of South Park. I enjoy it, but I'm not like intimately familiar with all the different episodes. And so there was, you know, I saw a list of like, hey, here's the episodes you should know if you're going to play the game. And I didn't really know many of them. Like, if you like the South Park ethos, but you're not familiar with South Park on a deep level, will you still enjoy the game, or does it lean heavy on references?
It's hard to say because So I haven't watched the entire series, like, end to end. I watched the first, like, X number of seasons and then kind of stopped watching it and watched only the popular ones from there on out. But that said, I got most of the references. Even the references I like, vaguely remembered, you know, like, that character existing, I guess, you know, from other people talking about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was surprised that it leans somewhat heavily on a lot of the earlier references too, or like a lot of the stuff that a lot of the characters that were apparent in the first few seasons that didn't make it later on, they're still in the game, which I thought was interesting. So they do a good job of kind of spreading out the references across the entire series.
Yeah. So like it would probably speak volumes to say, like, devoid of its context, you know, is this joke, which is a reference to something else, funny on its own? Like, does it, you know, like, is it funny without this knowledge? That to me would mean it's successful. So if you played it and you saw something like, huh, I wonder if that's something that I don't know, but you still thought it was funny, would it make a difference?
Yeah. So the jokes are not like cryptic where it's like these obscure references or anything. It'll just be whatever the joke was before, they'll do it in the game setting, you know? Yeah. And so it'll be funny there as well.
Yeah. So we get like 7 laugh points from like, oh, that thing was pretty funny. And then like maybe an extra 3 laugh points if we're like, oh, I recognize that thing from before. And also it's still funny.
Yeah. So like, yeah. So as like an example, like, well, I don't know. Like whatever humor, like I'll just use like Big Gay Al for an example. Mm-hmm. Like whatever humor he gets in the show.
Yeah.
It's the same humor that's in the video game. So whether you knew it before or not, they're making the same sort of jokes, you know?
Yeah.
But
can we submit this to our successful movie / video game or TV series to video game?
Yeah, that's the only reason why I didn't share it since it's a TV series. But yeah,
a South Park movie.
That's true. So a TV series to movie to video game.
So ironically, South Park has generated one of the best and one of the worst adaptations.
A video game, yeah.
Yeah, so Chef's Love Shack and Stick of Truth.
Before Chef's Love Shack, the N64 one, right?
Was a racer, right?
Yeah.
Well, there was a kart racer, yeah.
No, but the N64 one is the one I remembered, and that was just
pretty
awful.
Bad.
Motion sickness.
Yeah. This one is much better than anything else before it.
Because the actual creators were involved in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's good. And just like the setup of it, too, is like Metroid-esque as far as like how it evolves.
It starts you with all your stuff and then takes it away, or
no, not that. Just the fact that same thing as Batman, where like the world unlocks as you play the game, which is
cool.
Nice. So it's like you get the town from the beginning, mm-hmm. but
it's gated.
Yeah, exactly. Huh. So it's enjoyable. It's worth playing if you like the show. So if you like the show, go for it.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch for it to pop up on Steam sale.
Okay.
Yeah. I cut you off to say that. I didn't mean
That's fine.
I'm sorry.
No. And I want someone else to play it so that we can talk about like the 3 moments that are like really hilarious.
So then, can I borrow the game?
Yeah, dude, come out to Las Vegas.
No, should have had that foresight if you wanted someone else.
That's right. Yeah.
You said he had 2. What was the second one?
I don't think I said I had 2.
I thought you said you had 2.
You did not say he had 2.
I said it was 2 weeks.
I think you said you had 2.
What is this? Come on. You're just jumping on that. You don't believe that.
It's not a vote. Like, you said a thing. Like,
I'll share something else. Well, I'll share 2 other things now.
Okay.
Whoa. Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't sign up for that.
Yeah, well,
you didn't say
down.
You had 3.
I had a friend over this last weekend, and I watched him play through The Last of Us.
Hmm.
Or at least
one sitting?
No. Just like not all of it, but a lot of it, you know? And so that just made me really want to play that game again.
Yeah. That's so good.
Dude, so I don't have many regrets in my life. Sorry, I'm hitting the table again. One of them, though, is I thought I would play through that game a second time, so I started a new game. Not a new game plus, but I started like a new save file.
Oh.
And now I don't have, you know, I didn't play through that. So I got to find all those tools again if I want to get back to where I was and like upgrade all the weapons to where I was.
It's trophy horror moment. Yes. When I started The Last of Us, I did the same thing where I started again, but I went straight into New Game Plus normal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The problem is that you then only get there's a trophy for easy, medium, hard, and survivor, regular, and easy, medium, hard, and survivor, New Game Plus. So to get all the – and fortunately, it unlocks the trophies for everything easier when you beat it.
Yeah.
But that means that you have to play through the game. If you don't start on survival difficult –
And you can't get that at the first
unlocked,
time through,
right? So
you have to
play through a minimum of 3 times.
Hmm.
So whatever, you know, whatever difficulty – then
survivor,
on Survivor.
Then Survivor
then on,
Plus.
Then, yeah, Plus.
Or don't do any of that and enjoy your life.
But I need the trophies.
But it's Dennis. Yeah.
So I had the same problem.
Yeah.
So how many times have you been in it so far?
1 1/10 and a quarter. So 1 and...
Math is hard.
No, shit. 1 6/20
No.
1 8/7/20 I did it. Okay. Right,
yeah.
I kind of did it. Yeah.
Anyway.
that's it.
But that game is a beautiful game, though. Like,
it is so pretty.
Even if I don't play it again, that's a beautiful game, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so we've already talked about that game, so I don't want to talk about it anymore. The other game that I played that I mentioned before when we were recording was this game. I think it might be only a PlayStation Plus, but it's called Ibob. It was on PlayStation Plus last
month. Have you been playing that by yourself?
Yeah.
Oh.
Way to bring it up, Dennis.
I played it with Jen, and I'm genuinely curious how you do that game with single player, because I don't think it would be possible.
It's like Brothers,
it's
man.
It's Brothers style.
Where one joystick controls one does the other. Dude, and the parts where, like, one person is, like, in one area, and you have to do something with the other. Yeah, dude.
It would be impossible.
It hurts the brain, but that's fun, you know?
What game is this?
It's called Ibob, I-B-B-O-B-B.
I think it's Ibn Ob.
In and Ob?
And, because one of them is Ib and the other is Ob.
Ibn Ob.
Ibn Ob.
Ibn Ob.
Ibn Ob.
Ibn Ob.
No, you guys
say it.
Ibn Ob.
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 Cool. What did the cuckoo clock?
Yeah. No, but it's fun. It's like a platformer game. The idea is like the platform runs through the middle of the screen. Everything above the platform, gravity is going down. Everything below the platform, gravity is going up.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of kind of like portal-esque moments, I guess, where
yeah.
you can kind of jump from one break through the platform, and then gravity goes the other way, and you kind of get in an infinite wiggle. So,
wiggle.
Yeah. So it's a really interesting puzzle, you know, puzzler, you know.
It's all about managing your momentum, but you've got two characters to manage that momentum.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, yeah. I mean, I guess playing multiplayer would make it fun, too, because you could do it then, you know.
I guess it would be possible.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do that with only one player, because, like, yeah. I've played through probably the first four levels co-op, mm-hmm. and it's insanely difficult even just... co-op.
So yeah.
Kudos.
So I would wonder, like, if they gave you the ability to do both, you know, if to play it by yourself, what was their intention? If the developers has come out and said, like, yeah, we kind of gave you the ability to play both at the same time, but really you ought to be playing this with somebody else.
Yeah. I played this after playing Brothers, too. So it's like, for me, it was just like, oh, yeah, yeah, two joysticks. I got this.
You'd already formed those neural pathways.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
But it's pretty cool, though. So if you're looking for a puzzler that's challenging and mm-hmm. mind-bending, go for it. You know,
puzzle platformers.
Yeah.
Indie games.
Mm-hmm. Does that count as indie?
I mean, it looks indie. So.
It does look pretty indie.
Yeah. In desk.
David, how about
sure.
you?
Sure. I've actually got two. I checked out Hawken on Steam. It's a free-to-play mech game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like with the crazy customization.
I think Geolaw plugged it a while back.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good. I mean, overall, it's ends up being mostly, you know, a team-based first-person shooter. You know, you're in a mech, so you can kind of take a lot more hits than you can in most shooters, but it's basically a shooter. But the real cool thing, they really get a really good feel on how the mech, I guess, feels. In terms of, you know, I tried playing, like, the Mech Warrior Online, and that was very much like the EVE Online approach to mechs, where it was, like, everything's, like, let your computer system do it and be like, you know, micromanage your power core.
Yeah.
And this is not that. You know, your mech, you know, is fairly agile, but they still really keep, you know, kind of the sense of weight. So, like, you're, like, side dodges, your mech more just kind of does, like, a sidestep as opposed to just doing, like, the ninja teleport like you would in, say, like a Unreal tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's a really pretty decent game. The other kind of cool thing, all of the mechs are sort of supposed to be, you know, were originally like mining equipment or various industrial things.
So they're repurposed.
Right, and they do a really good job of actually capturing that look.
That's
so
awesome.
It's very much like, you know, you have one gun on each arm, but they're very much, it's not like a Mega Man-esque or like a Gundam where, like, the gun's built into your arm.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like literally, like, you had a forklift thing and someone, like, riveted a gun to it.
Yeah.
or like one of the mechs is supposed to be built out of parts from like old rocket launchers. So like the cockpit is like this horizontal like section of a rocket. Stuff like that.
So is that the case for all of them, or is it just the free to play ones that are junky?
It varies because, you know, each one kind of has its story. Probably my favorite is actually the one you get free, the starting one. The actual cockpit is this big square with this huge flat windshield, so that it looks like a computer monitor. Mm-hmm. And that actually has like a windshield wiper on the front. So it's just this giant computer monitor, and you can actually pay one of the variant costumes on it. Is it just has the blue screen of death on the windshield. Nice. But yeah, most of them are like that.
I was thinking like Roomba with a knife for the starting one.
I cut you so bad.
DJ Roomba.
This is a mech? This counts as a mech, right?
But yeah, so I mean, they really do a good job of just capturing the feel of, you know, kind of a fun approach to feeling like you're in like a several ton robot. Which, why wouldn't that be fun?
How's the free-to-playness?
It really seems pretty solid. Customization, like visual customization, you have to pay. Everything else seems very much approachable. I would estimate I get about 170 credits if I lose a match, and about 200, say in 20, if I win a match. Mm-hmm. And it seems like the mech to unlock them costs either like 3,000, 7,000, or 12,000. So all of those are within the realm of, you know, you could, you know, reasonably grind that.
Yeah. How long does a match take?
At most 15 minutes. I think 10 minutes. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah, it's doable. It's just enough that I would want to actually spend money, which they kind of need, but not so much that I would feel forced.
Yeah. Very cool.
The other thing is I drank the Kool-Aid a couple weeks ago and got PlayStation Plus.
Yes.
So I've been playing the Tomb Raider, new Tomb Raider game.
Oh, cool. Me too. And, so we'll rap about it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's really, really good.
let it be noted that Dennis both turned his chair around, sat backward on it, and then mimed turning his baseball cap around backwards.
And then posed like an 80s rapper.
Yes, he did.
We turned his hat around it. Throws a switch.
I know I'm a teacher, but I'm also cool.
He totally just slated.
Yeah. I'm not really sure how to... No, yeah.
I'm a teacher, but I ride a skateboard to work, so...
Ride a razor scooter. I ride a skateboard to the school, but then I ride a razor scooter in the hall.
Yeah.
Oh, captain, my captain. Continue. Sorry.
So, I really like the story. The story, the way they present her character, kind of the character development, Grant, I'm fairly early on to it. I don't know what I'd give for like a comparison point. I just got the climbing axe.
Okay.
I would say your character development is similar to like Far Cry 3, right?
Yeah, I would say actually, from what I've seen of the thing, if you took the intro to Far Cry 3 and stretched it out to an entire game, that's basically what the game is.
Yeah.
Or at least as far as I've gone so far.
So not a spoiler that she kills people in the game, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like up to the first time she kills someone, they do a really good job of building that up and giving that a really good emotional weight.
Right.
So it feels like, oh my God, I just crossed a line. And like that feels like it has impact, and that feels weighty. That feels, you know... They really gave that the emphasis they were going for. So I feel like they succeeded really well there. Then immediately after that, you are fighting groups of 3 to 4 people at a time.
See.
And so there's some, you know, the ramp up is great, and then they just hit this point of acceleration where they jump you up a couple notches.
So I know this is like a common complaint of the game where it's like she turns into like Rambo, like on a dime or whatever. But I think this might just be a personal problem, but I think I'm just numb to killing people in video games. Because, like, yeah. I didn't even care. Like, I was just like, yeah, you gotta
kill
everyone.
That's what you do.
You gotta kill everyone. Come on.
Like, see, I would kind of compare it almost to, like, Saints Row in that there's a disconnect between, like, the storyline is sort of your character's kind of supposed to be a hero, but if you actually think about what you're doing, that doesn't really fit with it, like you would actually be an awful person. I feel like there's a little bit to that where, yes, in terms of gameplay, you very quickly are killing lots of people, but if you look at like the cutscenes and how the character reacts, mm-hmm. they still maintain that. So I think that's maybe a little bit just a compromise with the need to make a video game that's not really part of the actual plot, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And contrivance.
I wouldn't have asked them to make a game where you're only, you know, you kill one person throughout the whole game, or every time you kill someone it's a huge emotional impact. I guess the only thing I would ask for is to have a little less of a huge jump between kill number one and then like 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Although I would say pacing. This is kind of a spoiler, like right after your first like real big action sequence where you take out multiple people, you then like meet up with your mentor and then have a breakdown.
That's true.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's slapping the mic.
Like what seems to be the problem to me, I'm just kind of keep cutting you off. I'm so sorry. Okay. What seems to be the problem to me is like they earn it and then squander it. Like they try and play it for pathos, but then immediately sell it short. You know,
I guess I just very much have a disconnect. Like I just what I'm doing when I'm playing the action game, I don't necessarily think of as being.
Yeah, and I don't think it hurts the game. You know, like it doesn't ruin the game overall at all. Like, you know, it did not affect me, my ability to enjoy the game going forward. It's, you're right. There just was a disconnect there. Like, oh, well that, you know, that was, you did something really well. And then it was like, okay, now that we've got that out of the way, standard action game time.
Yeah. Well, although
I was going to ask, what were you going to say before I cut you
off? Was a poor joke.
Oh,
so it's better that you cut me off.
Okay.
It was a mercy.
I'm stepping over everybody, so...
No, are we...
No, good. Yeah.
I will say, although what does ruin the game is effing QuickTime events.
Oh, God.
They not only just...
Are poorly timed.
There's a lot of them. They're relatively difficult. Like, I've had times where the QuickTime events are always the same button pushes.
Yeah.
And I've had times where I've had to play the same cutscene like 5 times because even when I knew exactly what was going to happen, I still couldn't press the button in time.
Yeah,
totally agree. And before you know, in the two instances before you realize that it's always the same button, it's freaking impossible.
Yeah,
right. Well, and the other problem with it is, It screws up the feeling of the game. Because often they'll use the QuickTime events to be the points where it's like, oh, you're suddenly fighting for your life and, like, you know, she's freaking out. But that doesn't work when you've, like, died 5 times and you know exactly. Like, the problem with QuickTime events is basically QuickTime events are an exercise in how much can I make it look like there's the possibility of you failing without there ever actually being the possibility of you failing? That's the entirety of what
Heavy Rain
events are about.
Yeah. The one thing I was impressed with the game, not the one thing, I like the game a lot overall. The other thing that I was impressed with the game was that it's so dense. And so even I'm fairly early on in it, but every time I was like, oh, I wonder if I can go back there, or it looks like there's something over there, or it just it feels like a very full world and there is a lot to do and a lot to find.
Yeah, their map settings kind of rival Metal Gear Solid as far as like how dense you can explore like a single environment.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it feels like most of the time when you're in a video game forest, it feels very off. Like I have not seen many good forest levels done well. Where like you're in a setting with lots of trees, but it always feels like either it's just bare ground and trees, or like here is a very clear path, and then it looks like forest on either side. Whereas in Tomb Raider, for the first time, it actually felt like I was in a forest and able to walk around it, and it felt like it was both dense with big and small foliage.
Have you played OMG Wolves?
Yeah.
Have you played Snake Eater?
No.
You should play Snake Eater.
Yeah, Snake Eater's a pretty good example of what you're saying.
Yeah, that would require me to play all the other Metal Gear games leading up to it.
It's a prequel. Actually,
it's a prequel.
You're good.
It's a prequel. That's the first one.
You keep trying to get out of this.
I don't have room for another Snake series in my life.
It's so good. All right, whatever.
There's also, I really like the kind of the survivalism angle. I felt like they did a good job on that. And I like the balance they have with the character in that she's an archaeologist. I like that she actually does archaeology. That's kind of nice.
And not in just the Nathan Drake of, these are symbols that say treasure.
Break
a pot.
I really like the fact that, like, when you find a treasure, she actually, like, analyzes its historical significance.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. But the other thing I like is that they balance, like, she's been trained to do this stuff, therefore it's not like Far Cry 3 where it's like, for no apparent reason, I'm an expert with a bow.
Apparently I'm really good at killing people.
Yeah. Like, they actually, like, establish that, like, she has learned how to do archery before this point, but they balance that with the, but she's never actually done any
never
of this
applied
before.
It. Yeah.
I felt like that is a really good way to do it.
So I think one of the weird things about the game is they're really okay with showing graphic death scenes of Lara Croft. That's part of the problem with, like, the QuickTime events is, like, okay, I'm walking, you know, to the next map. Okay, I'm going to watch her die 5 times in, like, terrible ways. And then I'm going to go to the next area and everything's okay. It's like, all right.
Gratuitous lady snuff.
Yeah. Definitely breaks the pacing of the game.
Would you have even noticed if it was a guy, though?
Because happen in Uncharted, you know, like with Nathan Drake dying in somewhat weird ways.
Or I was going to say yes, because I've played Dead Space. And it's it's very similar. A little bit less Cthulhu-y, but...
Yeah. The one other thing I'll say is with your main weapon, the bow, there's a limit on how long you can keep it drawn just for, like, muscle strength.
That's interesting.
And if... For me, like, I'm notoriously bad at shooting, mostly because I overthink things. And I'll miss my window of opportunity because it's not quite perfect, and maybe it could get a little more perfect, and then it's gone. But knowing just in the back of my head that, I can only keep this drawn for about 5 seconds, and then I'm going to loose an arrow in a complete wrong direction... has turned me into freaking, like, a master.
Rambo? Rambo?
Like, oh my... has turned me into Katniss from the Hunger Games.
So what's crazy is 2013 will go down as the year of the bow and arrow between Last of Us, Crisis 3, and Tomb Raider.
And Far Cry 3.
And Assassin's Creed.
Yep. I have to say, I wish they had done the bow the way they did in Far Cry 3, though, just the one-shot kill. Maybe this is just me not being used to the controller, but I felt like their stealth system is finicky enough and it's hard enough to aim that follow-up shots or, like, being able to, like, charge up your shots just don't seem that realistic.
That's the thing. I don't need follow-up shots anymore. Having this deadline that I gotta hit has just, like, forced me to loosen up and, like, there it is, and I've got him.
No, so, but like, what I'm saying is, like, I routinely, like, shoot the dude and then have to shoot him, like, 3 more times.
Oh, I get all headshots, so.
Yeah. Like, does that simple constraint has turned Dennis into a clear, like, refined killing machine?
Just give me a mod for Call of Duty that only allows you to stay scoped in for 5 seconds, and I will own it. This is the secret.
That's called Black Ops.
So, I feel like that was Tomb Raider. We're going a little bit long.
Oh, yeah.
So, I'm going to say... cool to that.
Well, that counts as mine as well.
Okay.
So that can double up there.
Cool. So efficiencies. Did you have, you said you had a second one? Oh, yeah, Hawken and then this. There we go. So I will defer to you if you have any that you
Tomb Raider and Dark Souls 2.
Yeah.
So
good. Yeah. So, I feel like we can talk a little bit about Dark Souls 2 here just because it's a game you've been playing. And, we have a whole show dedicated to it. But it is, the game that came out. This is, a crazy big game this month.
Yeah.
And, people want to hear about it. We're not going to go into, spoilers or anything, but... if you want that, go to Bonfireside Chat on the same network. But I would like to hear what you think before we get you on an episode. So.
Spoiler, you die a lot.
Yes. I literally died to the very first enemy in the game, and I died to the second enemy. In fact, I don't know if I've come across an enemy that I have not yet died to. So it is definitely Dark Souls. The one thing I will say is that it is – so it's amazing. It does everything that I want it to do, but it highlights the fact that I have played Dark Souls before. And that is the one thing I will never be able to get back is not being familiar with how this type of game works. And there's just an element of white-knuckled creeping forward that I feel like I've lost just from having played Dark Souls 1.
Well, you practically beat Demon's Souls before you got to Dark Souls. Did you feel that way going from one to the other?
No, because Demon's Souls was this weird period in my life where I was playing and getting frustrated and I don't understand what's happening at all.
Yeah.
So there was enough of a disconnect there.
So it's not that you've played Dark Souls, it's that you're competent at Dark Souls.
Yeah, there you go. I learned Dark Souls because it was the same. It's the same kind of thing going back to Demon's Souls, and I didn't think about it in Demon's Souls because I had played many of the areas before. Mm-hmm. But with Dark Souls 2, to illustrate, it never would have occurred to me just in and of myself to once I've kind of played through an area once and I am familiar with it to just run past all the enemies.
Yeah.
That is something that never would naturally.
That's a pro tip.
Yeah, that's a pro tip, and it would
I never did that.
Yeah,
that's how I grinded in Dark Souls.
I never left the graveyard in Dark Souls.
Well, you shouldn't have been going to the graveyard. Yeah.
But that is a very late game Dark Souls thing to do. Mm-hmm. Where I'm familiar with this area. I really just want to get to the boss. Where I'm focused. So I will run past everyone. Because I've already lost all my souls and it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So that took me until, like I said, late game Dark Souls to realize, and I'm doing it in the second area with Dark Souls 2.
They do things that specifically thwart that strategy, though.
So it's
very much, I'll steal Gary's line here, it's very much a sequel in that it's made better by having played the first one.
Yeah.
Because you have these old habits that you're bringing in, and they very conscientiously subvert those in ways that make it more they knew I was going to do that, that kind of thing. It is elegant in that it is elegant in how it anticipates you anticipating it. It knows you're in its head and it's in and it's been in your head the whole time.
If I have one complaint, it's that, and it's one of those it's not you, it's me moments. Otherwise I've been incredibly enjoying it. Maybe it's just I'm not far enough in the game, but the torch is fucking useless. Why is it there? I don't understand.
And you'll figure it out.
Okay. I just get a knowing look. Okay. Yeah. But that's...
You set dudes on fire.
It does a small amount of fire damage, actually.
I feel that's not the same as saying dudes on fire.
It's very Dark Souls, because it is Dark Souls, in the fact that you kind of... If it works, it works.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the previous games, my heuristic was biggest, smashiest thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the weapon I used.
Yeah.
So the Demon Great Axe in Dark Souls and the Meat Cleaver in Demon's Souls. In this, I found the mace early on. You can purchase it. I like the way it feels. It works well. And then I found a big, smashy weapon. Was like, okay, here we go. Switched to it. And I was like... I liked the mace. I know, and so I've switched back, and I will probably, it's likely I will stick with the mace for the majority of the game, until I find something that feels better. But my assumption that, I should just go with the biggest, strongest weapon is wrong because it doesn't feel as good as this other thing that is theoretically or statistically weaker.
Yeah, moveset Uber Alles.
Yeah.
Is there any more selection in longswords this time around? Because that annoyed me in Dark Souls, is that there is no late game longswords.
Yeah, there's plenty.
Okay,
I haven't noticed a shortage. Maybe I'm not sensitive to long sword shortages.
Wow, now.
Yeah.
Long sword shortage.
There we go.
It's better than short sword shortages.
Oh, that's good. Short sword shortage.
Title?
You got to spell it the way I said it the first time.
No, one of us has to successfully say it before
short
it can
sword
be...
shortages?
Nope.
Short sword shortages.
Shit.
Sinful Caesar sipped his soda, seized his nose, and sneezed.
What if to do to that today, a minute or two to two? Particularly difficult thing to say, it harder still to do. For there'll be a tattoo at a quarter to two, a rat tat tat, a rat tat tat two, and the dragon will come when he hears the drum. Damn it, I almost got it.
All right. We'll call it close.
Back
enough.
To short shortages.
Short sword shortages.
Okay. We've killed it.
Why is this podcast 6 hours long?
All right, so we've had three. Can you do this?
What? Short sword shortages.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Close enough.
That's why you do voiceovers professionally.
That's actually how they test you.
Yeah. The barrister's and bravest boast, he beats his fist against the post and still insists he's the ghost. What? Okay.
I feel like that's another mic drop moment, but
okay. So
in a very small and specific niche. All right. Yeah, that's so Dark Souls 2. I'm 10 hours into what I fully expect to spend more than 100 hours on. So
10% there, man.
Yeah, it's an exciting time for Dark Souls fans.
How many hours are you into it?
55 in less than a week. So
have you beat it?
No. No, I have not.
Are you close?
Hasn't Gary beat it?
Yes, he has.
How
many hours did he spend?
Is Gary a Time Lord?
I don't know. On either account. No, I just you know, like
is
I
Time
I had
Lord
it
code for employed?
No. So I like left it running some, you know, like just overnight and ran. Just doesn't make sense to turn it off. And I'm also bad at video games. So you know, it just let's not game shame, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like it just. It takes different people different amounts of time to play different things. And I played like way too much. Like I was sitting still for like far too long. Like I was like playing standing up. I was like changing positions. Like I have to get the speed. Like if I don't beat up, and like, you know, like I stayed indoors like a whole bunch.
But we talked about this over text. Mm-hmm. Dark Souls is a series specifically engineered to punish rushing.
Yes. It
so
is.
That is like it is one of those Chinese finger trap things where the harder you try to get through something, the more it's just going to break you down.
Yeah, by Saturday night, we were having those texts back and forth. That was I was going up against one particular boss. I was like I was just losing my mind on it. Like
did
it was
you beat
like,
it?
Yeah, I beat it yesterday. Nice. But like I had to put it down and I didn't touch it for all Sunday. I was like I'm going to like leave the house.
Day
I'm
of rest.
Clean
yeah.
The house. just because like. It just was not fun anymore because I was pushing myself too hard on it. Like I was getting physically sick. Like we recorded the Deadly Premonition episode on Sunday, and I was like vomiting. It was rough. Like it was real bad. Just because like I was like eating bad and like just like not. Yeah. It was like my life had fallen apart. It's like you know let's not do like 60 hours of games in a week.
When they say you will die, they're talking about your actual life.
Like your actual thing. Like you know. I'm kind of ashamed to like say all that stuff because like I'm a grown ass man who should be able to manage his life better, but like it was like way too much souls, and so like maybe it's not a huge deal if I don't beat it, you know, by the time we start recording.
I would hate you beat it by the time you start recording, and your synopsis is I hate this game
this
now. Can we
sucks.
Be done?
Yeah.
So, is it the same basic flow? You know, is still. Human form and zombie form still summon people to fight, but you know, like the same basic game.
Yeah, like they change it in a couple of like fundamental ways, like the humanity and you know being hollow kind of thing. Like you gradually turn hollow as you die, as opposed to you know just like being either undead or you know human, which changes with your HP, which isn't as bad as it sounds.
Can you summon people at any point?
Yeah, like you can if they leave summon signs.
Okay.
You can join
only
covenants.
If you're human, right?
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm saying. You have to be at like max HP or whatever to
you have to be human form to
Is that the same?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you have, like, human form is, like, you have all of your HP.
Okay.
But I have not been, so they made a big deal before the game released about you can get invaded when you're, you know, hollow, or when you're, yeah, when you're undead, mm-hmm. and I've not been invaded once.
It's pretty rare.
Can't you just
like, pull
the Ethernet wonder, cable? I wonder if it's because we're in this weird time where it released a week ago,
mm-hmm.
literally a week ago, right?
Yeah, as of today.
Yeah. Huh. As of when we record. And so people, there's just, most people are still focused on the single player game, yeah. getting through it. And there's not a lot of interest in doing multiplayer yet.
I've seen some pretty funny multiplayer videos up though.
Oh yeah?
There are some good ways to troll people.
I was disappointed though. You know how in Dark Souls, if you leave items in places, mm-hmm. it'll like cross worlds and create weird creatures in other people's games and, mm-hmm. and stuff.
That's not a mechanic people knew about.
No, but I assumed it was there, and so I went and started dumping all my stuff in this one particular place, mm-hmm. and then came back to it like the next day, and it was just all still there. I was like, "Damn it, you're too good at saving my stuff."
Yeah.
So, oh well.
Oh well.
More mechanics to discover and fun stuff there.
Yeah. So it's cool. I mean, that's really all that I've been playing in the past week. I did like episode 2 of The Walking Dead season 2. It's mm-hmm. good. Like, there's not much you can say about it. Like, you know, it's I don't want to spoil anything for somebody, but like, you know, like comparing it to the first season is a little bit weird, because like the first season had this thing where like the like episode 1 was like, it was pretty good, but like it just looked like too many new people to like mm-hmm. get to know, essentially. And season 2 episode 1 was kind of like that, like just there's a bunch of new faces, but like episode 2 is where, you know, kind of like in season 1 where shit starts to get kind of real. And specifically, if you've played the 400 Days kind of expansion, huh. bonus pack, whatever it is that they put there. So, like, that's a very interesting way to see how that's playing in. So,
with the first episode being too many new people, you gotta replenish your stock of people to kill off.
Exactly.
So it's got to happen sometime.
It's tough, but I think, like, okay, so what did I think of? What did I think of, you know, all I can think of is Herschel because he's from the comics. what did I think of Kenny the first time? Like, without knowing that he was going to be, like, one of the main characters. It's kind of like, this is just, like, who's going to be important? And, you know, you're always looking for, like, whose narrative should I be, like, most interested in? So it's a little bit tricky in that regard, but, like, stuff starts paying off pretty quick. So, like, I would say, like, if you were hesitant, like, oh, is it gonna, I don't know if it's going to live up to how good season 1 was, because there's still 3 more to go. But, like, that kind of, like, eased some of my doubts about it.
When is there Borderlands and Game of Thrones stuff coming out?
I have no idea. Okay. I don't know.
I heard about that. I was excited for it.
Wait, yeah. What is this?
They're giving The Walking Dead game treatment to Borderlands.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, and then to Game of, which I'm most excited about simply because I'm not familiar enough with Game of Thrones to
mm-hmm.
to care. So
yeah, I don't know. I mean, they got to do something after Walking Dead.
Yeah, you
know? Like they've proved that they're really good at latching onto like an IP and telling a story in that world. So
yeah. I'm basically waiting until the end. All of them are out
just like you did with the first one. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Same here.
Because I imagine it would be really tough to stop, like, at season 4 or, you know.
Yeah.
Or you mean episode 4?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. We'll see. Yeah.
Not to be pedantic.
Did you have anything else that you
played? No,
okay. Yeah, same here for me. I'm reading an interesting book. I know we're going late, but it's called Life. It was given to me by a coworker. It's called Life, a User's Manual. And it's strangely video game like, even though it was written in like 1978. In that, what it does is it tells the story of a single apartment building and kind of the people who lived in it at a specific moment, like as the clock strikes 8 on like this one night in like 1975 in Paris. And like each chapter is like a constraint about like one particular object and how it figured into that person's life. So it's like, you know, on a superficial level, and like it goes deeper than this, and it's like crazy postmodern House of Leaf style thing. But like, you know, it's inferred narrative about the way these people's, the objects that they surrounded themselves with were in there. So much like you would get in a Gone Home or in a, you know, like a Bioshock.
Okay. Yeah.
That's why it's relevant.
Or in a tour of Cole's apartment.
I did give you as a tour. Yeah. I'm very proud of my house.
Yeah. Listen, personal archaeology is an awesome, yep. awesome thing.
Yep. So it's cool. It's a neat book. It's been around for a good long while, so I feel kind of goofy like bringing it up. But it's, yeah. I don't know. That's the grind. You guys want to button it up?
Not really.
Yeah, let's keep going.
And Ben's here shucking and jiving.
Yes, let's button it up.
Do what now?
Okay. Well, that was, oh man, I don't even know what episode of the level this was.
54?
54, yeah, episode 50. Let me go to our actual website. I lose track.
We're getting old.
Oh, it's just, you get into the 50s and it's all... It's all downhill from there. Oh, so we have a bonus level.
When do we get our gritty remake?
Yeah, when are we going to reboot the level?
Yeah, so this was level 54. Thank you so much, yes! for listening, everybody. Also, thank you guys for coming over. It's super exciting to be back in the same room. It's something that happens so rarely.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, and it lends a special energy, to the show when that happens. So I'm very, very grateful for this moment that we have here. So if you are grateful for this content that we are producing for you, we're not doing a kumbaya circle, you guys. I'm not completing it. Don't. So you don't touch Howie, you don't touch Cole. Right? No, if you're grateful for this, a couple things you can do, facebook.com/thelevelpodcast. There's also, liking us, or leaving us a rating, review on iTunes. There's duckfeed.tv/tipjar. And then the other stuff on the network, shows and such.
Abject Suffering. So that was the one show that I forgot when I was doing my admin last time.
Well, you don't have to hit all of them. Like I kind of hate like listing off each and every one of them every time. It's like we have like a whole like page that has all of them. You know, like it's the ones that need some love. Like Abject Suffering specifically. You know, because its numbers are not as like good as like commensurate with like the quality of the content. I think it's like super proud. We were given a prompt for a game that we actually liked, so we talked about it for 10 minutes, and I think we told stories about going thrift shopping.
Yes.
For 3 minutes.
Wait, what game was this?
This was King of Dragons for the SNES. We're just kind of like, yeah, we don't want to. Like, let's just talk about what we want to. We're talking about going to thrift stores. So go check that out. Yeah, I think that's about it. So I would like to thank all of you here again and say that I've been Cole Ross at Cole Ross on Twitter.
I am Dennis Furia at D Furia on Twitter.
I've been David Moneysmith, but no more.
Born anew.
At Moneysmith777.
Ben Merkel at Merkelizer.
Awesome. And as always, in these tough economic times, we should all be wary of short sword shortages.
Nice.
Just so you know, but turning that on and off creates like a huge.
Okay, so better like, better for me to just kind of.
Yeah, that way I can put a marker down. So
just drop the mic.
Yeah.
unless you just want to mess with Cole, then just flick out and out.
Well, yeah, unless you want to ruin the podcast. Yeah.
If I don't like your
which we do every week, each individually. Yeah.